Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Well, hey, everybody, it's me, Rosie O'Donnell, and you have found my podcast, Onward with Rosie O'Donnell. So you know the show Love on the Spectrum. It's been on in a few iterations. It was a British show or an Australian show, and then they made a U.S. version, and it's an amazing show about people on the spectrum of all ages, most of them in their 20s or 30s. Trying to figure out love and life and the world, you know? And if you have an autistic person in your life, it is just, even if you don't, it is just the most beautiful show to watch. So one of the men on there, Michael, who is very charming and very lovely, he found me on Instagram and we've been DMing, and he asked me if I wanted to go on Instagram Live for Love on the Spectrum, first one that they're doing live. I said, sure. So I popped on. Luckily, I figured out how to get on there. And there they were, the whole cast. And we just talked for like a little over an hour. And it was so much fun and it was so heartwarming, the questions that they were asking me, the facts that they knew about me. And as I'm reading the comments, as I'm commenting, I see Ricky Lake. It says, Ricky Lake, hey, Ro, I think this is so adorable. And I'm like, of course Ricky Lake would find her way in here. I love Ricky Lake, and I love that she was watching and appreciated just how amazing it was to see that and to participate in that. So I don't know. I just, it was like beshert, you know, a Jewish word meaning meant to be, that I got a little Ricky Lake last night, and I'm presenting to you our conversation from a couple weeks ago. We've been friends a long time, but I don't have to tell you anything because, frankly, it's all in this conversation. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my friend, Ricky Lake. I'm here with my good friend, Ricky Lake. Hi, Ricky Lake.
Hi, Rosie. I'm here in person. I love you.
You're the best.
You are. I've learned from you. I feel like I've admired you long before I actually knew you.
Yeah. And you know, when I was thinking today on the way over here, when was the first time that we actually like chatted and talked? I think it was right before
we went to the can we say what movie we saw?
Yes.
Hey,
that's
the bird.
Yeah, that's
Dolly,
which was my childhood nickname. That's okay. Dog can bark.
Go sit down.
Go ahead.
If she sees seagulls, she will. Go see.
I think when we went to see that Wayne's World.
In the Valley.
Because I had met you at like a Denny's or something. Remember, you were sitting in the back booth?
You remember everything.
I know.
I've taken Ambien periodically in my life,
yes.
So I don't remember details. But
yeah.
I remember going to the movies with you in the Valley. It was in Studio City. We walked out.
Yes, it was horrible.
Yeah,
I couldn't
really
watch the whole movie. And I was like, do you want to stay for this? And you were like, no.
No.
And so then we went out and we had lunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you remember what we ate?
No. Okay. But I do remember you saying to me, I'm going to go to New York and do a talk show. And I remember thinking, how do you do a talk show? How would you like? And I, at the time, there was no one but Oprah. It was all Oprah all the time, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else was getting beat up on TV.
This was in 1992.
It was.
Was I got the pilot for the show.
Wow.
And I remember years later, you came to me and asked, you wanted to know what the drill was. Like,
yes.
How does it work? Because they were talking to you.
Right.
My show is obviously a huge hit. And I told you, my workload.
Yeah.
You ended up with a much better deal than I did.
Yes.
But I'm not complaining.
No, you did very well for yourself.
I did well.
We were at Ricky's gorgeous house in Malibu here up on a mountain overlooking the Pacific Ocean, which the most beautiful floral garden design I've ever seen in
a
house.
Thank you.
It's gorgeous. It's a beautiful place.
And it took a lot to get to that spot.
Yeah, it took you like 8 years to make it.
It took
seven and a half to
find it and then build it. There was one thing after another. Then my partner, Christian Evans, passed away halfway through building the house. And the goal was never to be on a mountaintop by myself. You know, he and I were going to, the idea, I was living in Brentwood. Had you ever been to my Brentwood house?
No.
Robin Roseanne, our dear friend, you know, she says that's like her favorite house ever.
Is this the one that you sold it to somebody who turned it quick?
Who flipped it?
Yeah,
I mean,
you're still mad at. Go. Tobey Maguire.
First, let me say, I bought it from Courtney Cox.
Okay.
So, like, name dropping galore. Bought it from Courtney Cox. She has great taste.
Yes.
It was a fucking killer house. And can I say fuck on your
Yeah,
house?
Okay, I think so. Okay.
And then I lived there for like 11 or 12 years and sold it. I was ready to downsize, but not downsize because of financial means. It was like, I wanted a smaller piece of property and house because that was like 7,000 square feet. It was a lot of house. And I wanted to get a place in Ibiza and get a smaller place here and be on the water.
Right.
Be like overlooking the water. I sold it to Tobey Maguire. He painted it white and dressed it, like staged it white and flipped it a year later for $2 million more. I'm not mad. I'm over it.
Are you over it?
I'm totally over it. Good for him.
Yeah, it's amazing what people can see. And people who have that natural talent of looking at a house and knowing, like, which I think you do. Oh, I'm going to knock out this wall. I'm going to put this here. That's not my thing at all. I have to go in and see it done.
Really?
Yes.
No. You don't want a project. Okay, then
no.
The house on my street is not for you.
Well, I don't think I have the ability to have the patience to, like, wait. And when I walk into a house and see what I naturally like, which is white overstuffed furniture and
shabby
chrome,
chic.
Shabby chic is me, and chrome. It was because the first kind of rich person's house I ever really went to was Madonna's in Miami.
Okay.
And I walked in and that's how it was. It was, you know, the 90s. It was like 92 or something. And I was like, okay, if I ever get successful, this is what I will do.
Weren't you successful at that time when you?
No.
No?
I was a stand-up comic.
You won Star Search.
No, I didn't win.
Okay.
I came in second, and me and Sinbad didn't win that year.
Oh, that's right.
Did you know he's had a bad stroke?
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's sadly been kind of incapacitated for 2 or 3 years trying to cope with this horrible stroke and relearning how to talk and walk. And they have a GoFundMe set up for him because, you know, the medical bills are extraordinary. But it's so sad to think, you know, somebody our age— Boom, you know?
Terrible.
Taken out of the game.
He is what, 60 or
He's
something?
He's got to be in his 60s, right?
That's
I'm
horrible.
60. How
I
old
no
are you?
Idea. I'm 54.
Oh, you're just a baby.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. 6 years
I'm
on
getting
your kid.
Better with age.
You
that's
sure,
for sure
are. And I feel the same way. I feel such a calmness about my life and a lack of thinking there's somewhere I have to get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think we are lucky because we've had I can speak for myself. I assume for you, but I've achieved. I've like proven myself to me and to, like, I love the work I put out. I love the documentary work I do.
Yeah, so brilliant job at those.
Thank you. I mean, I just feel like I've made my mark in the world. I've made an impact. I want to do more. I'm not done, but I'm not driven by like staying relevant or making more money. Like, that is not my MO. It's about quality of life with my new husband who I'm so madly in love with.
I'm in love with him too, just so you know.
He's
all
I
the
heard
lesbians
what you said
love
when you
him.
Said goodbye.
Yes.
He is so special and I deserve him. Like, that's the piece of it that I think for so long in my life, being a fat girl, being, you know, not the object of affection for so many, and, you know, having love, like having deep love, but I think coming into my own and really loving myself is very new.
Yes.
And I think I would not have been able to call in this quality of man had I not felt the way I did about myself, you know?
Yes. And how did you get there, Rick? Because you were heavy your whole childhood, right? You were always the big girl?
No, I was sexually molested as a little girl.
And I was as well.
Yes, I think I knew that. I was 6 years old, and that was when I started turning to food. Mm. And my mother didn't know how to handle it. She had her whole own eating disorder. And, you know, so the more she would be harping on me, because I was an embarrassment to her. It's such a, like, an ironic situation, because my mom, who I don't have a relationship with.
I know that, yes.
Not for many, many years.
You went no contact before there was a thing of going no contact.
Was there a
thing where kids or adults who have, you know, people in their life, you have to go no contact.
Really?
And that's what they call it, you know, when you see on TikTok or whatever.
I don't do TikTok, so I
know, I got to get you onto that. But it really is like crack.
It's poison. Well,
not that I've ever done crack, but what my impression is.
No, I haven't.
Okay,
no,
well,
I haven't
please,
done crack.
That's scary to me. But you're much more adventurous in your drug world than I ever was.
But not to crack. I want to be clarified.
No, let's be clear. No meth, no crack, no heroin.
No, and I think no TikTok for me because I can't, it's too frustrating. I mean, I watch you and I see it mostly on Instagram, your stuff.
Right.
But I don't have the patience. And
yeah.
It's just, yeah.
It is really something that is so addictive and probably so damaging to society as a whole. And years to come, we're going to find out just how much damage it caused, you know?
And you have a young child still that's, you know, do you let her...
Well, because she has autism and such a specific interest, she doesn't know anything about communicating with other people unless you're in the game of Roblox and then you can only type, right?
Right.
So her world revolves around her video games. But, you know, what it's done to fame in a way that your celebrities that you love and adore, your stars, are accessible, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never left school if there was a chance that Barbara Streisand could have seen anything I wrote to her. I would have been writing her every day.
Yeah.
You know, I used to write when I didn't know where to send the letters when I was a kid. I'd get the album, Columbia Records, and I'd send it to Columbia Records.
Did you ever get an answer back?
No, sure of course not.
Not
she was
until
the
you
biggest.
Had your own show.
Correct.
That's the only time you met her was on your show, and I remember.
No, I was nominated for an Emmy in the same category as her once.
Okay.
And I was at the Emmy sitting in the front row, and she walked by me and she said, "Oh, congratulations. I hear you're very funny." And I was like, hum-a-na, yes, nice to meet you. And, you know, they did the categories. It's like, you know, these stars and then this upcoming young comic that nobody had heard of.
What year is this?
God almighty, it was probably 90.
Wow, so before your talk show. And I remember when you got her on your show, she came on just once?
No, I ended up doing a bunch with her. I went to her house.
I remember when you flipped the set, right?
Yes, of course.
I remember that.
For 2 months in advance, I flipped the set for her. But, you know, listen, there was nothing she could have done that I wouldn't do to accommodate her.
Right.
I feel so much indebted to her for inspiring me to be myself and think I could do it. She sounded like me, not her vocally, of course, but she had the New York accent. She looked familiar.
Right.
She, I don't know, and her brilliance is unparalleled, and it kills me now, Ricky, that some of my kids and stuff and, you know, my nieces, they go, who? And
yeah,
I go,
I know.
You know, my friend's son said to her yesterday, the son's 16 and she's about 50, and she says, the son says to her, who's this lady Cher?
No.
Cher.
You know, they all live in Malibu. Like,
yes,
like
we
should
I do.
All have lunch at
I
my
know,
house
exactly.
or your house.
We should have a little party.
So are you in touch with her? Like, can you go over? Have you been to her house?
No, I haven't been to her house, but we're sometimes in touch on text. And I love her. I've always loved her, but I don't bother her because I know she's a very insular person.
And can you be normal with her? Like, I mean.
Yes. Hey, don't go away. There's more after this with Ricky Lake.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Okay, my edible is starting to kick in right now.
All right.
So I'm like sitting across from you. So like you're my friend and I consider you like a dear friend, someone I really look up to and I really know you. Like
right.
We know each other. But then there's also like, holy shit, I'm doing Rosie O'Donnell's podcast. Like there's still that
now,
piece.
Do you know that I never believe that anyone thinks that about me?
Yeah.
I have never felt like part of the people that I interviewed and got to be in their orbit. I never felt their equal. I always knew I was visiting. I had a visa. I had to leave.
I feel that way too.
Yes. So it shocks me that anyone feels that way about me.
Yeah, but you're beloved. Like you're just beloved. And I think I am too. You know, I think people feel like they know us.
Yes.
They trust us. What we have, we expose ourselves. I mean, I've been so transparent about every part of my journey.
Which is why I love you so much. I think that's—
I don't know how else to be.
It's me too. I don't know how else to be. Some people say, even in my family, why do you share so much? I'm like, why don't you share so much?
Yeah.
Like if you would tell me your feelings and what upsets you and what you're passionate about— we would get to be so much closer.
I agree. I've always been this way. And maybe it starts from John Waters picking me to be Tracy Turnblad when I was 18. So I was really, like who I was cherished, you know, from the start of my career. And then once I did the talk show, I mean, I'm being me. Like I'm just, you know, speaking to real people. I mean, your show is all celebrities. Mine was real people talking about relationship issues. And I was super interested in that. Like really curious.
Yes.
I'm still curious about relationships and people and humanity and what people will say and do on camera, off camera. I mean, I'm still that same person that did my show. And it was a grind, as you know.
Yes.
I mean, it was a grind. We had to do 195 a year, but I loved it, you know?
I did too.
I don't want to do it anymore.
No, I don't either. I don't think I could. You know, there's something about your innocence and your youth when you go in there blind and you don't really know what it is.
Yeah.
But in the midst of that kind of popularity and fame, I kind of was unmoored.
Yeah. And you were raising kids too.
Right. Like
a lot
of kids.
Too.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I feel, and I know I'm jumping around, but like where I am now, my kids are out of the house. They're on their own. My husband's kids are out of that. Like it's like me time. And I feel like we've regressed, like we've become kids again. And I still have responsibility, but I don't do the grind of a show every day. And I'm not, you know, doing carpool like you are. It's a joy.
It really is. And I think that when you get to be 60, when you really, you know, 6 years for you, I turned 60 last March. And I really felt like, God, I have entered the third chapter of the book of my life. And there's only three. If you're lucky, you get three chapters.
Yeah. And your mom died when she was what?
39.
Jesus. Yeah, that's got to fuck with your head. I mean, when you were 39, it must have been a trip, right?
You know what happened? I got that staph infection.
Yeah.
When I was 39. and my mother died at 40, and I was thinking, I'm not going to survive this. And I think I had made that hurdle so huge in my mind that almost I kind of manifested this near-death experience at the same age that she was. And, you know, they came and told me, we're going to have to amputate your wrist or your fingers tomorrow. And then this nurse at the hospital poured this Chinese herbs and said, don't tell doctor, don't tell doctor. Poured these herbs. And the next day, the doctor came in and said, it started to heal. And she's just sitting there. And I was like, looked at her. Afterwards, I said to her, what can I do for you? Is there anything you need? Where do you live?
You bought her a house, I'm sure.
Well, that's what I wanted to do, right? I wanted to buy her a house or a car. And she said, I want you to do one thing for me, Rosie. I'm like, what's that? And a very, very thick Asian accent, like really beautiful. And she said, I want you to pray to Jesus Christ right now. And I said, you got it. And she held my hand and she said, talk to God in a way that I hadn't heard someone talk to God ever, really.
Because,
you know, Catholic churches, it's not exactly a Baptist church where people are screaming and telling us it's the most boring thing you ever sit through in your week. And you try to avoid it at all costs. You know, I would hide in Jackie's pool.
Really?
Yes.
And
I'd hear my mother, Roseanne! I'm like, shh. And they'd go off to church without me knowing I was hiding somewhere.
Wow. So that woman saved your hand.
Saved my hand.
Wow.
And then when I got out of the hospital, I still had my show. I was just 39. When I got out of the hospital, I kept seeing people with one hand missing.
Yeah, that's kind of like when you're pregnant. You see pregnant people everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I remember when you were wearing that splint for a really long time.
Yeah, 6 months.
Oh, my God.
I had a staph infection. Look, all the way to here.
Do you still have full mobility?
No.
You never.
This finger doesn't work. My middle finger on my left hand. I have no grip strength. Like, I can't grab anything like this. So sometimes I do movies or I'm doing it and I go, hey, can I? And it looks like I'm flipping people off.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Yeah.
And that was from you falling with?
On the night of the George Bush election coverage, he was speaking and giving his, and I went fishing with Kelly.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And I cut a little tiny hole, punctured it, taken off the fishing pole price tag, punctured my middle finger, and nothing hurt. So I was like, it's just a little hole. Stop bleeding. She's like, let's just go to 7-Eleven and get some Band-Aids. So we went to 7-Eleven, and there was a EMT paramedic truck.
Right.
And the guy said, give me your hand. And he looked at it. He goes, can you feel this? Can you feel this? He said, get in your car and drive to Miami, and you're going to need surgery.
Because it severed a tendon or a nerve.
Everything it severed. The doctor said if you had taken 100 tries, you never could have done as much damage. And it's still, you know, it's a dead finger.
Is it? Wow. All right. I don't have any story like that other than burning my house down in the beach.
Right
on
this beach.
On this beach, right? Like a half a mile down.
Here's what I wanted to ask you, though. How do you think you went from being that kid to here? Like, we were at your house. We were at Ricky's yesterday with a couple other friends. And I was sitting there and all of us are like 50s, 60s. And how did we do this?
Right.
You with parents who were definitely mentally struggling and were not kind and were abusive. And, you know, me, would you say that?
I wouldn't. Abusive. I think my mother did the best that she could.
That's like very kind and loving of you.
I think it's true.
And
like,
it's true.
She, you know, her mother treated her a certain way. My mother, like, let me go back to what I said about like becoming overweight as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
As a coping mechanism, I think I didn't want to be attractive to men.
Correct.
And I got hairspray like my first week out of finals week. Like, so my mother, here she was so ashamed of me trying to get me to change, you know, and be normal.
And you said she was ashamed just because of your physical appearance?
I mean, yeah, I think my mother just didn't get me. You know,
okay.
Like I was just, you know, my sister was more able to be controlled by her. You know, my sister studied the thing in college that my mother wanted her to study. Like I was not going to let anybody tell me like what to do. But, you know, I saw Annie when I was 7 years old and I wanted to be, you know, Andrew McArdle or one of those orphans. Like my grandma Sylvia, when I was 7 years old, she took me to see theater, Pirates of Penzance, Grease, everything. And it made me want to be on stage, but it was seeing Annie, a girl that was around my age. And I just was like, I have to do that. And my mother got me singing lessons, which I appreciate. But she also said, you can't try out for Annie because you're not the starving orphan type, you know?
Mm.
And I think that's kind of mean on the surface, but I think she was trying to protect me from being rejected. And, you know, I was this heavy set kid. But my mom, years later, like it's just, I became her worst nightmare. But then I got famous for that very thing that she was so ashamed of. You know,
interesting.
Like, it really is. Like, I think it's interesting. And, you know, I didn't let her, I mean, she did great things for me. Like, she gave birth to me and that you know, I'm here. But, you know, I'm definitely not a Nepo baby. You know, I kind of come from nothing.
Yes.
You know.
And that's, I guess, the point. I was looking at all of us, except for Pammy, whose father was the big Mocky Mock.
I knew her dad.
Yeah, I had met him a few times too. But aside from Pammy, the rest of us, we were like, you know, poor lower middle class kids from New York. And here we are, all of us, thank God, doing well. And
it's amazing.
In a position where we don't have to work. Imagine that. I can't imagine it. Every day I think of it.
Yeah, and my kids, I mean, this is the first, what do they say, the first generation where our kids aren't necessarily going to be as successful as us, right? So Ross and I talk about that because we have six kids between us. And yeah, I mean, I've been incredibly lucky and I've also worked really hard. Yeah, so I mean, despite my upbringing, you know, like you, all three women, Robin, Pammy, and you, like I just admire you all so much. What Pammy has done with her career.
Unbelievable.
It's a masterpiece, that series, and that it stems from her life. And I've known her.
Yes.
We were kids together. And I know exactly how hard it has been to raise those girls on her own. I'm blown away by
Pam Adlon.
Pamela Adlon, who's
genius. She did the show Better Things on FX for 5 years. Wonderful. Unbelievable show. If you haven't seen it, you gotta binge it because you'll fall in love with her. And it is the story of her life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's an authenticity that you can't replicate.
Yep. And just when someone is like the auteur, you know, like a John Waters even, you know, it's like it comes from their brain and they execute it and they put it on the page and it is so brilliant. And it's just, I'm blown away by her and what she's done because I won't say anymore.
Right.
You know.
When they're your friends and then you're on a podcast.
I know, it's like a weird,
We just, you know, got a little high before we started this and thought, okay, this will be fun. I've loved all that you've done with your documentaries, especially the one about pot, Weed the People.
Yeah.
Really wonderful.
Thank you.
I am the kind of 60-year-old person who never smoked pot till I was 40. And then at 40, it was like I would take two little puffs and I would be like flying, you know?
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. I loved it. I was like, this
Who
is what
got
I
you
sh-.
Into it at 40?
My shrink, because I was having no desire for sex. I started menopause at 40. And so I had zero libido. And she was like, why don't you try smoking a little pot? And I was like, I've never smoked pot. That's what the black t-shirt kids who like Black Sabbath wear. Like,
right.
I was not ever like... And then as soon as I started it, I'm like, where have you been all my life?
Oh, I'm the same way. I mean, I first tried pot my only year of college, my freshman year at Ithaca College. And I remember it affected me so much. I feel like it was laced with something because I was so freaked out. I was so paranoid. I remember feeling like I wanted to jump out of the high rise that I lived in. It was really traumatizing. And I never did it again. My husband, Rob, who, you know, my ex-husband, my first husband, he liked pot, but a little too much. And so I didn't like... Like, I remember one experience. I did get high with him and we were going to some event and I was sitting at the mirror curling my eyelashes.
Yeah.
And I was high and he got my attention and I moved my head, but not my eye, and I ripped out.
And they all came off.
I ripped out half my eyelashes. So I didn't smoke pot. I was not into cannabis at all until I met Christian. And Christian was my second husband. I met him when I was 42 and he... was on this mission to try to help himself with healing.
Bipolar,
he was bipolar, but he was also had chronic back pain from a car accident. So he was always looking at different things to heal. And he's the one who taught me about CBD before Sanjay Gupta came on and made the big apology about cannabis.
Right.
I mean, so we started making this documentary back in 2012. Do you know that story?
No.
So I do crazy shit, like not like you do. You like put strangers through school and you do incredibly—
Yeah, but listen, you think you don't do crazy shit. What about the girl with the weed story who you were treating and then you
That's
moved her
I'm
into
talking.
Your
That's,
house?
That was what I was just going to
yes,
talk about.
Yes, I know that goddamn
this,
story.
This girl.
Don't call me crazy, crazy.
That was crazy. That was crazy. Well, I had done Dancing with the Stars.
Which you were great on.
Thank you. I loved it. And I hated it because it was so hard. But it was incredible. This little girl— loved Derek Hough and loved thus me because I was his partner. And I found the mom on Twitter. you know, we started engaging. She was this sick little girl. She had this disease called neurofibromatosis 1, which they treat like cancer. It's not cancerous tumors, but it's tumors that they treat with all these cancer drugs. Her picture, I mean, she was 6 years old. She looked like she was three. No hair, glasses, crooked. I mean, something about this little girl. And I think I saw myself in her.
Mm.
I really think I connected with her. And so next thing you know, I moved them into my house.
Yeah, I remember
this. To go on this mission to find like alternative methods because it looked like the cancer treatment was harming her. So Christian and I took it upon ourselves. We were, you know, osteopath, this one. And Abby, my partner who I made the business of being born with, I'm telling her, I'm like, I've got this little girl and her mom living in my house. She's like, what? And I'm telling her the story. I'm telling her about the cannabis, blah, blah, blah. We're talking to cannabis doctors. She's like, I think this is our next movie. And so we started the movie focusing on this little girl. Ultimately, they pulled out of the movie, the project. You know, it was devastating because
yeah.
I didn't need her in the movie. I wanted this little girl in my life.
Sure.
And so we parted ways, unfortunately, but that was the catalyst or the start of this 6-year journey of making this movie. It's really powerful in that it really re-educates about the history of the plant, you know, what was done to kind of smear campaign, not unlike Midwives with my first film, The Business of Being Born. So
right.
It was a great film and it's really Christian's legacy.
Well, you know, it did change the way I felt about my own pot consumption because I had such 60-year-old, oh my God, this is a bad thing to do. And then it becomes legal, right? So I remember the first time I was here when it was legal, I call one of my friends and say, do you got any pot you can bring over? Because I wouldn't travel with any.
Right,
I was
right.
like totally afraid I would go to jail.
Yeah.
And they go, just call up MedMen or whatever. I'm like, what?
Did MedMen exist then?
When it first became legal. Okay. This is the first time I ever got pot like from a legitimate store.
Okay.
So I went online and I was like, yeah, I'm at the hotel. And, oh, great, Rosie. What room are you in? I'm like, I'll just come down to the lobby. They're like, oh, okay, great. Well, so we got the two hybrids, a sativa. And, you know, I have no idea what really is going on at this point. And I get down and I get there and the guy walks in with like a t-shirt and a messenger bag that says MedMen on it, you know?
You want to be on the DL.
Yeah, I was thinking we were going to go, here, buddy, here's the cash. It's $260, right? And he was like, great, Rosie, is there anything else you need? And have you ever tried a gummy? You know, you might want to try it. And I was blown away. I went back to my room feeling like a criminal who was wanted.
That's amazing.
And to this day, still sometimes
I feel
a little bit like, ooh, I'm doing something illegal.
Wow. Well, I feel, I shout it from the rooftops. I mean, I love cannabis. And I was also, when I did my talk show, I was the disciple of Nancy Reagan. I was like the just say no to drugs, you know, very judgmental, very fear-filled, not open-minded in the least. And now, you know, I've done I've done a ton of like—
Yeah, you,
know,
you did ayahuasca.
I've done ayahuasca a dozen times.
And I say how much it terrifies me.
It is terrifying.
First of all, I'm on an SSRI and have been since 99, so I can't do it. But let's just say I wasn't. I would never do it. The concept that you're going to be that out of control— and you're going to throw up and poop your pants and, you know, and then you're going to see hallucinations. Like, that's my idea
of
hell.
But then the after effect is you heal your demons. You have no fear of death. I mean, you have ego death. Like I'm telling you, and I'm not encouraging you to do it or anyone to do it.
So don't worry. Don't worry.
But my experiences doing ayahuasca have been life-changing. Life-changing. For example, and I hate it, it's horrible, it's going to like the depths of like the darkest places, and then you see the light. I mean, you see God. I mean, one time I was in the Redwoods up in Northern California during the day. It was the one and only time I did it in daylight. And I remember just being on my knees, my hands touching the ground underneath these incredible Redwoods, and I was tears, and I'm seeing and feeling the earth's heartbeat in my hands. It was the most— And that, I mean, other things. I mean, that's not, like, the biggest thing that happened to me was I made amends to my father and my children. And, you know, I had so much anger and just poison inside of me.
I remember.
Because of that marriage ending. And so in the end, I came out of that experience saying, oh, I need to like take responsibility for my part in this. And it was incredibly healing for me, I think for him. But also I made amends in front of Owen, my youngest son, who was probably 8 or 9 at that time. It was
very meaningful.
It was, I never in a million years, I didn't go in with that intention, but it was just incredibly, it was definitely changed my life.
you know, Melissa Etheridge does it as well. And she has a new one woman show that I saw off Broadway over Christmas. And the whole like last third of it is about an ayahuasca trip, about journeying, as she calls it. And I so couldn't relate to any of it. Like I was there going, this would never, like she made it seem like it was some psychedelic something from the 70s that was going to be fun. But I just had anxiety watching her talk about it.
Yeah. We have the same, I know her shaman or whatever, you know, the person who facilitates. I know we've never sat together, but you know, Lisa and Cindy,
yes,
remember Lisa and Cindy? They were a part of our film. I mean, they weren't in it, but they were part of our journey in getting
well, they were like pioneers. They had this great pot sales business and then
they
what
got
happened?
Fucked. They got screwed fucked by the landlord. I don't remember the whole thing, but Lisa, who's I'm still very close to, she did my grow, my property.
Oh,
so
great.
So the medicine that I gave you, those are her strains, her babies, and she taught us how to do it. And
yeah, lovely. How are they doing?
Lisa is okay. I mean, I haven't seen her since we harvested, but Cindy took her life like a year or two after. Do not know this.
I didn't
I'm
know
telling
this.
You that.
I don't
oh my
think
gosh,
I knew
thought,
this. No.
Yeah.
She did. Mm-hmm. She suffered a lot. Right?
She suffered like Christian. She and Christian were very tight. And they both kind of were from the same planet. Because I think Christian was an alien. And we've talked about this. You believe Dakota might be too?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, she tells me a lot that she is.
I believe that there are certain special people, particularly some people who have challenges or are mentally ill, but they can tap into something else that we can't. And Cindy died about 3 years ago.
Wow, how about that? So sad. You know, mental illness, when people like Christian and her and friends of mine, and it has to be changed. We have to deal with treating mental illness compassionately and medically, and it has to change.
It feels impossible because the system, you know, we don't take care of our people. And, you know, I just know what I went through with Christian, which this Saturday is the 6-year anniversary of his death.
And you saw him just 2 nights before he died.
3 nights before that was through the last times I saw him. And I actually did everything that everybody told me not to do. I mean, I had been trying to
separate
and have start my life over after his second bout with, you know, a psychotic episode. And I just had to remove myself for months, you know, and then I just threw myself into working out and taking care of myself. And he came back through LA and asked to see me. And I was leaving for London shortly after. And so he and I had dinner, you know, everyone said, meet him for coffee during the day.
Right. Don't bring him home.
Yeah, don't bring him home. Don't have alcohol. You know, I did everything that everyone said not to do. And I brought him home and we did, you know, spend the night together and make love all night. And it was his goodbye to me. And I'm so glad I didn't reject him in that moment because I would have felt very differently about his passing. But I mean, that relationship, and you met him because I remember doing your podcast in NIAC with him.
Yes.
I'm having a flashback.
All of them, honey. I can name all of your boys I've been.
There haven't
been
that
known.
Many, right?
Well,
there
come on.
Apollo.
Should we do the names on the show?
I didn't lose my virginity until I was almost 21. I got married at 25 to Rob. I, you know, stayed married till 35, met Apollo, was in that relationship for 3.5 years. And then I turned into a slut. Then
I always tell people, Ricky Lake, you are my spirit animal. I love how you go at love and grab it with both hands. I love how you live your life. The family relationships that you have made with your friends are thicker than most families that I know.
Chosen family.
Your chosen family is strong and vibrant and well tended to by you. You're an amazing woman. You really are. And one day you have to take me to Burning Man. And
This is for being recorded, right?
Yes. Okay. One day are you going to take me to Burning Man? And I'm going to like maybe have a little golf cart.
A little mushroom, a little.
Oh, no. Come on. No. I haven't done mushrooms. No, I'm very much a wuss, honey.
You're never too old.
Never too old.
Whatever. I'm not pushing psychedelics on anyone. I just know, like I'm the best me I've ever been because of like my open-minded. Like I was gonna say I'm a seeker, but I don't know if it's about that. Like I'm just open.
You live your life in full gear with all the colors. Like you use every ounce of color in life and you fucking let it wash over you. And it's the most beautiful thing to have been your friend for 30 years and to know that this is who you are.
Thank you. I love my life. I love, particularly now. Like this is, I mean, I wake up with my guy singing. We go to bed. I mean, it's just from like the start of the day, it's just joy yes. and play.
And he's and an gratitude. Astonishing man. He's a wonderful, wonderful man.
Can you believe we're so different? Like he comes from this devout Mormon background.
Right.
You know, I here's what I think. I mean, I believe Christian brought him to me. I believe Christian had to leave. I mean, and I know this sounds crazy.
No, honey, go ahead.
I really don't care how I sound because I know what I believe. And Christian, he didn't want to leave me. He was so in love with me, but he couldn't. Like it just, he was not of this planet. And when I had the house fire here on this beach, you know, he and I came together through that fire. And I believe it was divine intervention. And he was supposed to be my greatest teacher. He stayed for 6.5 years. And, you know, when I married him, I knew he was like a patient. I mean, I was his caretaker and I knew I was signing on for that. And we had a pact. And he said to me when we got married, it was just the two of us at the San Ysidro Ranch in Montecito. He said to me, we are together for something greater than just us. I didn't know really what he was talking about at that time, but like through the journey of losing him, like I believe he's now taking care of me. Like I know, I feel it. Ross feels it because it just doesn't make sense how Ross and I got together. We would never have met. We lived in the same vicinity, my apartment in the Marina Del Rey, where you came
yes,
over there.
Yes, exactly.
He lived on the beach side. You know, he's a corporate attorney.
He's huge.
He's new to LA.
He's so not fat. He's tall and big. He's a man.
He's 6'6".
He's a 6'6" big man. You
he's
know?
Currently 259 pounds. We're both losing weight like you are.
We've been watching. Look great.
We're feeling so good. But anyway, I believe Christian is my angel and my greatest teacher, and I've learned so much about mental illness, about just eternal love, unconditional love. And the best part is that I now love myself the way he loved me.
How beautiful, Ricky. And on this 6th anniversary of his passing, you know, let's all take our time and feel it and remember him. He was a beautiful, free-spirited man, and he did love you greatly, and it was obvious, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so much mental illness. Love doesn't have a say, right?
No.
Well, listen, this is the first time I've ever gotten high and done really anything work-related.
Really?
Yeah, I would have a beer sometimes doing stand-up before I went on.
Yeah.
But I'm a smoke my pot alone and hang out and vibe in my house. You know, I'm not a... let's get
social.
High.
No.
Let's get high and go somewhere. No. Now, if it's a bunch of us, like it was the other night, that's a different thing.
Now, why?
Anxiety.
Anxiety because someone else is going to judge you? What is?
No, because I don't want to be out of control in public. I don't want to be at the mercy of other people's mind. I want my mind to be focused on getting myself there and back in the car and making sure Dakota has what she wants and you know, right. But when I have my alone time, you know, I'll definitely take an edible or two and put on something that really moved me, you know, and watch it for the 3 times in a row and take notes, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we get high every night and it's like, it's the best. It's the best. Anyway,
there we go.
I digress.
All right. I love you, Rick.
I love you too.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Hey, we're back, and now we've got some questions from you or comments, little voice memos that you leave for me at onwardrosie@gmail.com. There you go, onwardrosie@gmail.com. We get those emails. They put together some of the questions, and I hear them for the first time right here. So we're going to get into that right now. First question, roll it, would you?
Hey, Rosie, my name is Mark. I'm a nurse in Washington, D.C. I'm a gay guy in my mid-30s. I'm looking for some dating advice. I've been really consumed in getting my master's this past couple years and also really trying to find a committed boyfriend, but it's been super difficult. Dates have not been going far. Do you have any advice on where I should be looking, what I should be doing, anything in regards? Could use your help. Thanks, Rosie.
Sure, honey, I'll be glad to give you help, although I don't have the best record in romance. But I think it's really important to find someone who is like-minded, you know, that you have the same kind of values and outlook on the world, and that's not always easy to do. But if you go to places that really interest you, like for me, the theater or to art shows or museums, you know, and I find that people who have similar interests like that, it's a great place to start. I think that, you know, Tinder and Bumble and swipey swipe swipe. I don't think that that's the way that people really get a sense of who each other really who they are, because we curate our own image in social media. It's not an accurate portrayal of who we are. And I think there's a lot of misinformation and non-accurate assumptions that you make when it's solely a social media kind of relationship. So I would say go to places that you like. It sounds like you've been very busy, and congratulations on getting your master's and being a nurse. I think nurses are the heartbeat of the country, and if it wasn't for them, no one would ever get well. Their job is to love and to heal people. Can you imagine that? That's your job, to love and to heal people? And they do it, and they care for them. Their job is caring and loving. So congratulations to you on having that wonderful, wonderful career, and congratulations on getting your master's. And now work on the other part of your life. You seem to have gotten the career trajectory really right, and I know romance will be on the way. Go slow, honey. There's no rush, and good luck. Let me know how it goes. We got time for one more. Here we go. Roll it when you got a minute.
Hi, Rosie. My name is Laura. And I have a question for you that you may or may not want to answer, but I was wondering, when did you start to notice that there might be something not adding up for Dakota? I ask because a lot of times girls are not diagnosed until much later. So I'm just curious, when did that journey of questioning start for you? Okie doke, thank you.
Thank you. Great question. Thank you so much. I'd love to answer it. Here's the thing. When she was one, she said full sentences that were lines from Frozen. So I was sitting with her. She was had just turned one, had just had her birthday. She was sitting on my lap. We were watching Frozen. And right before Olaf says, "I've been impaled," she looks at me and says, "I've been impaled."
And I said, what? And then I hear the TV, I've been impaled. And then she looks at the TV. And I was like, did you just recite that sentence? Not only did she recite it, but it sounded exactly like Olaf. Like, it was kind of creepy. Now, she was my fifth kid that I had. And I also had two foster kids. And, you know, I've raised a lot of kids, and I knew something was different about Dakota. That is the first thing was the I've been impaled, or maybe right before that, the fact that she didn't seem to answer to her name. There was sort of nothing you could do to get, if you said Dakota, she wouldn't turn. Now, at some point I started calling her monkey and making a noise like, ee, ee, you know, hey monkey, ee, ee. And when I did the ee, ee, she'd turn around. So she responded to the sound more than to the words. So I took her in, and I had kids who had other issues of learning difficulties, and I was familiar with what we had to do. So I went and got her the tests that were appropriate and met with some autism doctors, and they told me her diagnosis from the time she was two. And, you know, I'm so happy that I knew early on what to look for, and that I knew where to get her the help, and that I'm fortunate enough to be able to afford to get her the best help. And that has to change in America. Everyone needs to get their kids who are suffering healthy, and it should be available to all people. I firmly believe that, you know, socialized medicine. I believe that we have to take care of our citizens, and starts with the smallest of them. So thank you for that. She's an amazing, amazing young person. And I'm in love with her. I think she's the greatest. And her confidence is inspiring. So thank you for caring about her. I appreciate it. All right, everybody. That's it for today. There it is. We are done. And I hope you enjoyed Ricky Lake. I love her so much. Thank you, Rick. Next week, guess who we have? Stephanie Mills, who is an amazing mom to a special needs son with Down syndrome. We talk all about our special needs kids and how it's changed us. I saw her first on Broadway when she was just 17 years old, starring in The Wiz. And it was one of the best things I have ever seen on stage in my life. I'm so happy that we became friends and we've remained friends, and I love her so much. Stephanie Mills is my guest next Tuesday here on Onward with Rosie O'Donnell.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.